David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and this is Stacy from The Advisor. And today I'm very excited because we have two very special guests today, and they are amazing individuals. We have Marnie and Nick today, and they have co-authored a book called Lead It Like Lasso. And it's an amazing book. Basically, their goal was to teach people how to become the best versions of themselves. And they have amazing input and advice today to share to help you become the person that you always dreamt of becoming. Or if you feel stuck in life, or if you're just unsure of certain things, they've got the answers today. So I want you to listen, put your ear, take out your earplugs, listen to what they have to say, because they're going to take you on a whirlwind journey to a lot of valuable information. So Marnie, why don't you just tell us a little about yourself and what you do?
Yeah. So thanks for having us. Nick and I are entrepreneurs, as many of your guests are, and many of your guests have often also written books around leadership, right? So we have written Lead It Like Lasso, but in general, although we scaled and sold our company in 3 years, the same 3 years that Ted Lasso, the show, was developed, one thing that we say about ourselves is we are relative nobodies. And a lot of times when folks read leadership or business books, they feel like, oh, I have to have X, Y, or Z. I need to be a multi-billionaire to do this. I have to have, you know, all of these bits and pieces. And what we found is that we had really developed a framework working together and in the business that was really doable for everyone, because we believe everyone can be the best version of themselves. And the tagline of our book is a leadership book for life, your life. And I'll let Nick kind of explain what we were thinking of when we came up with that line.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we believe everybody's a leader, right? It doesn't matter if you're in the boardroom, the locker room, the dining room, or even the classroom, right? It's upon everybody to lead themselves. And especially these days, and I'm not sure if you've ever read Hidden Potential by Adam Grant, but he talks about the fact that we're in a character revolution, right? With all this AI, this generative AI all over the place, you know, everything's being automated, and technical skills, hard skills are being commoditized, right? So we're all about standing out, differentiating yourself. And to us, that's character and that's personal leadership. And, you know, like Marnie said, you know, we've gone through lots of businesses. We've created our own business. We've been successful with it. And we have a framework that we developed over the years of working together. And, you know, people always asked us, you know, how did you do it? How were you so successful in such a short amount of time? And it's this framework, but it's always built on the very basis that, you know, in order for us to lead as managers within a company, as leaders within a company, we first had to start with the foundation of a personal leadership framework. And once you have that, that just scales right up to business leadership, so forth and so on. Hope that makes sense.
It does make sense. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you guys developed this company and it just like took off, but you have, you know, you really stress about becoming the best version of yourself. Now, can you talk a little about, you know, what the best version of yourself really means to you? A lot of people, you know, they don't know what the best version of themselves are. They're kind of even confused on what steps to even take, you know, but, you know, they're not happy with where they are in life. But they don't, you know, some don't know what their purpose is. Some don't know how to get there. And, you know, but they, you know, deep down inside, they want something better. So how do you become the best version of yourself?
Well, you spoke to it in the beginning without even, without even necessarily knowing that this is where we would go with it. But you mentioned when people feel stuck, right? That there's this fight within themselves. And it is often, like you said, because they don't know themselves. So a lot of business books talk about leadership in terms of having a vision and purpose, but Nick and I felt like it's really important to understand your own core values first, because when you can get to know yourself and your own core values, then you can decide if it's aligned to the way of the work now, right? And many times, if you're feeling a clash at work, it is because your core values are not aligned with the work that you're doing. It is, in fact, why Nick and I started a business is because we had worked together before, and that company had gotten acquired 3 times. And he and I together were in charge of customer success and support. And he also had all this engineering piece along the side too. Yeah. But the core value the company claimed was raving fans, but we kept getting our staff cut. We kept getting our resources cut. And as people who really cared about making folks successful, it was that clash that caused us to say, we should start a company, but really base it on raving fans.
I think I'll add on to that. That's at the company level, right? But, you know, Marnie mentioned this, being authentic to yourself, understanding what your core values are. And I'll give you a personal story about that. I mean, early on in my career, I was fortunate enough to be successful. I just kept getting promoted and landing into different leadership positions. And I really got stuck with imposter syndrome, right? So I felt like a fraud, right? Yeah. I didn't feel like I was younger than people I was managing. I didn't feel like I knew any better than them. They were much more experienced. And it wasn't really until I had one of my mentors at the time, you know, really say, you don't get it. We promoted you to this position because of who you are, not who you're pretending to be, right? So I think just reinforcing the fact that what Marnie just said, that our leadership framework does start with core values and why it's so important, is because if you are not truly living your life, whether it's personally or professionally, to your guiding principles and what drives you, it causes things like imposter syndrome. Causes an awful lot of anxiety, an awful lot of stress. And we felt, whether it's personally or in a corporate setting, you know, any leadership framework has to start with identifying what the guiding principles are for you individually or for you as a company.
How does someone really understand, you know, if they're going through imposter syndrome? How do they, you know, what are some of the symptoms? Some people might not be, you know, familiarized with that terminology. So, you know, to explain to someone, you know, you're going through imposter, you know, syndrome, you know, how do you start feeling when you're going through that?
Anxious, very nervous.
Like feeling you're caught.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Like you're going to be caught. Like, oh my gosh, I'm speaking in front of this team, or I'm speaking at a seminar on a podcast, right? And you start thinking, oh my God, are people taking me seriously? Or am I saying the right things? Yeah. Am I acting the right way? And when you really and I struggled with this, right? And I struggled with it big time, especially in my late 20s. It ends up snowballing and you get very anxious, right? Mm. You start dreading every interaction with people that you're supposed to be leading.
Can almost paralyze you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And it's very common. You know, if you read the literature on it, it's quite common. It's more common in people who are capable of doing the position than people who are not, which is really weird, really weird fact about imposter syndrome. But, you know, I know when I've talked about it in peer groups, I've heard other people talk about it. Just the fact that there's a tag to this, experience is people just feel better knowing that it's out there. But again, I would say the thing that got me over it more than anything else was really starting to identify what my core values were and what guides me. And the fact that I was living to those is enough, right? Yeah. It's not always enough for people, but for me, it was enough and it got me over that hump.
How do you feel like you developed an understanding of what your core values were? Was there any particular tools or techniques that you did that kind of opened your eyes to really look at yourself in a deeper way where you could dive into yourself and really think about who you are and what your core values are and where you want to be in the next 5, 10, 15 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, at the time, it was a mentor who really had some conversations with me and kind of pulled it out of me. But, you know, not everybody, I think, is in that position. And that's one of the reasons why we wrote the book. And we spent such a great deal of time talking about core values and the interaction with culture. And Marnie, do you want to talk about at all our book and the activities and specifically around core values?
So in the book, we don't just explain what core values are, but we actually have a workbook version of it where you really do the work for yourself. And it's the worksheets are free on our website. So leadatlikelasso.com. You can just go download the worksheets, even if you don't read the book, as much as we'd love you to read the book. So in that, really, sometimes it takes looking at like what are core values, right? Authenticity is one, accountability is one, get stuff done is one. It's really any of these things, but sometimes it's hard for you to sit there and come up with one. So we have quite a list in the online website and in the book that people should go through and think, am I happy when I see that word? Does that feel like me? And it takes some narrowing down. It's funny, when you first read through the list, you're like, yeah, I want all of them. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to be authentic and I have integrity and I like to be happy and fun. And but then when you really start thinking about, if I were going to tag you with this, right, you'll be like, okay, to be honest, that one's not me. This one speaks to me. And you really need to narrow down to 3 to 5 that really feel like you. And what we typically find is if you're really stuck, one, think about when you're the happiest and think about describe that situation, and that might help you realize, like, when did you feel most accomplished? Ooh, when I got a big project done. Well, maybe accountability is something, maybe achievement is something you like. Or if push comes to shove, you can go to a friend and ask them why they're your friend and ask them why until they get so annoyed that they're like, well, I like you because you helped me become the best version of myself or something. And you're like, oh, I must help people become the best version of themselves.
I love it. You know, and it's so important to be, you know, a lot of people sometimes lose the ambition to want to be the best version of themselves. And I find that sometimes it leads to a lack of self-worth or low self-esteem. And, you know, not to get really deep into the subject, but sometimes it goes back to your roots and just the environment you grew up in and, you know, and maybe something traumatic that happened along the way. And it kills your self-esteem, it kills your self-worth. And then but in the back of your head, you still have those goals. You still want to be the best version of yourself, but you just, you know, from everything that you've gone through in life, you feel like it's not a reality. It's just a dream, you know? But as we know from Disney, dreams can become a reality, you know? So
absolutely.
Yeah. So
it's putting a path in front of you to get there. Right. So when you know who you are and you're kind of aiming to be the authentic version of yourself, then to really look at that vision and purpose and back map, you said, like, what does it look like 3 years out? What does it look like 5 years out? And we really encourage people to take a look at the steps to get there and to set those intermediate goals. I think if you just say in 5 years, I'm going to do X and then take no action on it. Yeah. Guess what? That's not going to happen, right? That is just a dream. But if you look at it and set intermediate goals that are actionable and defeat the blank page, like do the next thing. That's where people, and with imposter syndrome, like I said, you often have that paralysis. Yeah. We encourage folks to defeat the blank page, do the next thing, take a step, even if it's a small step.
Right.
And have some guide rails too. Like one of the things that we put in the book, when we talk a lot about legacy, you know, thinking about your legacy. And we have a couple of different examples in the book, and one is a little bit morbid, but it's okay. Write your own obituary, right? You've probably heard that before, right? Yeah. What do you want people to remember you for? We have a little less morbid example specifically in the book where we say, okay, imagine you're about to retire, write up your retirement, your email invitation for your retirement party, right? And hit the high notes of what you want to be known for. And we're big believers in, you know, once you have your vision and your goals and you're set up to hold yourself accountable to those goals, is to put up those guide rails, similar to like bumper pads in bowling when you don't want to go into the gutter, right? So once you define, you know, what you really want to be known for, you know, that's now in place. And if you start deviating off course a little bit in your goals and what you're actually doing in the here and now, you always have that reference point to get you back on track.
Right. I like that. I like that a lot. You know, and I think a lot of people, you know, when you think back to your legacy, what you want people to remember you by, you know, that really makes you start thinking, wait, am I there yet? You know, are people, you know, well, I didn't really do enough in this area, even though I want to be remembered for that, you know? And, you know, would you say goal setting is good once you start really thinking about, you know, what you want to be remembered as, you know, what version, what type of person do you want people to think of you as, you know? Do you suggest goal setting, maybe creating short-term goals, long-term goals, maybe doing some type of journaling, or is there some type of strategy that someone could start really organizing everything so they could actually have some kind of trajectory to actually get to that point where they are the best version of themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talk vision and purpose, and part of those chapters, we have SMART goals in there. So a lot of folks have heard that, but for folks that haven't, it's specific, measurable, attainable, relevant and timely goals.
Yeah.
Really help to, it's interesting that the unique part about a SMART goal is that it is actually measurable. And you can define, it's very obvious that you hit it or did not hit it, as opposed to, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
That's not an actionable goal. But if you said, I want to be happy because on New Year's Day, 2025, I have.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
$20,000, $200,000, $2 million in my bank account, right? Like, you're defining a deadline, and then you also need to create the path to get there. So create a goal that you can work toward, and then create the steps to move toward that.
And accountability, right? I mean, I think that's a big part of it. And that's, you know, that's part of the SMART goal. But it's funny, you know, we were doing an exercise just yesterday. You know, we've got the NFL draft coming up for football fans out there, right? And Marty and I went through a process online with our community where we drafted a personal board of advisors, right? So there's corporations out there that have board advisors, right? That really
keep them help on their guardrails.
they hold the leadership accountable to doing whatever the corporate mission is. And we strongly believe that people should have boards of advisors, right? Yeah. People that will hold them accountable, people that you trust, right? But more importantly, people that may help you achieve and give you guidance and advice on where you want to be, right? I'm not a great networker, right? I'm not somebody, I'm pretty introverted by tendency.
Yeah.
And you know, where I could use the help is connections and networking, right? And helping me, you know, build my brand or our brand as a company, right? So trying to fill in the gaps, you know, we've often heard and we've said in our book, and I think, listen to this for a second, right? You're pretty much the average of the five people you hang out with,
right?
Mostly, right? And that's, if you start thinking about that, and I have a 20-year-old son, and we talk about this a lot, right? What needs do each of those five people meet? And
someone dragging you down, or are they all really lifting you up?
Yeah.
And are they willing to, I think, so I have a 22-year-old and a 24-year-old, so we've had the same conversations at our house. And it's one thing to have a lot of folks that will support you in the social world. There are a lot of people that are willing to have fun with you, but it is less, it's not as frequently found where you have somebody that will be honest with you and will truly hold you accountable, right? In a kind and honest way. I love Brené Brown's work, Dare to Lead, where she says clear is kind, right? And kind is clear. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important in building that peer network. In the show Ted Lasso, Coach has his diamond dogs. And so that's what the group is called for Ted Lasso fans. But for everyone else, it's the notion of, a board of advisors, right? Your peer, your own personal board of advisors.
Right. No, I love that. I love that. You know, it's funny because, you know, I agree with you. You know, you take five people and you do become a part. You kind of rub off, our energies just kind of rub off each other. And you really have to, you know, I've had this conversation even with my husband, and you know, we've, you know, the people who you hang around the most, are they pulling you down or are they pushing you up, you know? And you can, you know, after a while, you may not realize it in the beginning because you might have those fun friends, but then you start spending a lot of time with them and they might just be great for fun, but are they overall pulling you down and holding you back from achieving your goals in life? You know, like maybe they're good for one area of your life, but maybe in some other areas, are they pulling you down? Then you have to reevaluate, what do I want for myself? And we go back to what you said in the beginning, the best version of ourselves. Are these people contributing to helping you becoming the best version of yourself? Or are they actually slowing down the process and maybe even pulling you down where it's you're kind of like going down the step ladder when you really should be climbing it up?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I find that, you know, that's a great piece of advice. Now, when you do these strategies, are there other things that you really emphasize to people when they are trying to become the best version of themselves and they're trying to really develop those core values within themselves so they can become the leader that they want and they can achieve the things they want in life? Are there other things that you really find that are really valuable to incorporate in their daily lives that will get them to that point?
You mentioned journaling, and this isn't so much a journal activity, but it's an activity that we have. Again, it's still available on the website, still for free, no email required. So, and it is to create your personal operating system. So it is where you start documenting your personal philosophy, your core values, your strengths, your weaknesses. And we also have a communication guide where you can outline how it is best, how you like to be communicated to. So many times at work, you'll find heads butting with someone because they're texting you at 9:30 at night and you're an early bird already in bed, and that causes anxiety, or, you know, so to really take a look at yourself and reflect on that and how it aligns to the way you're living, I think is one step. Nick, what were you thinking when she said?
Well, I mean, I think just a couple of points that I think are really important. One is, you know, and if for those Ted Lasso fans out there, believe is extremely important. Stacey, you mentioned it earlier. You talked a little bit about manifesting things and dreaming, right? You have to believe, number one. But number two, and I think this is really important for people, like I run into people all the time that says, I don't want to be a leader, right? That's not for me. Mm-hmm. There's no way I'm ever going to become a leader. You know, there are studies upon studies that really show that you're not born a leader. Leadership is learned, right? Yeah. And I think a lot of people kind of like, hey, no, I've never really had experience being a leader. It's really hard. But you know what? It's not hard. And you're not born with it. Everybody who fulfills a leadership position today, whether you're a parent, you know, you're a student in a student government, you're in business, what have you, they have learned to become a leader, right? Yeah. And there are two critical components in my mind, at least. One is understanding what leadership is, what a framework is, But the other thing is emotional intelligence, right? And I think we talk about emotional intelligence. We talk about the notion of listening. You know, Ted Lasso is famous for quotes. And one of the most famous quotes from Ted Lasso is be curious and not judgmental, right? Listen before you really start throwing your opinion and your judgment out there. So that's, we talk about all of those different things in the book. But, you know, especially for the, you know, for this, you know, the people who are just entering the workforce and they've got a lot going against them right now. It's so expensive to do anything. And they feel like, oh, you know, I'm never going to get a job to figure out, you know, to live comfortably. You know, you got to start with yourself. You got to believe in yourself. And it's everybody in this world has learned to become a leader. You're not born with it. So you're an even footing with everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
And I agree with that, you know, and it's been said many times when people, you know, say, I'm not a leader, but you, like you said, we're not born leaders. We learn to be leaders. And, you know, when people say I'm not a leader, well, why aren't you a leader? What's holding you back from you letting others hear your voice? And you know, I think we had mentioned even before the show, what is, you know, what might define a leader? And, you know, it may be a different definition for another person. So, you know, a mother might be the leader of her home. She might be the rock of the house, holding everything together, where the husband might work or maybe vice versa. The woman might work in a company and she is the leader, you know, in her department, you know, or the husband is the leader in the department. So it's really, you could be a leader even in your own group of friends. You know, sometimes people look up to you for that advice because you have, you know, you think things clearly and you always have good advice. So leadership could be, it's not just one standard thing when you're thinking the leadership. Oh, that's, you know,
that's the boss.
Yeah, that's the boss, the big person on the podium. No, not necessarily. You know, what does leadership mean to you? And I think people should answer that question to themselves. What do they think leadership means to them? And, you know, and then look around, because anyone could be a leader in their own environment, you know, and, you know, what do you want to do? You know, I've had one person that I'm not a leader, and but yet they want to help people. So, you know, in a sense, hello, you
that
are
is
a leader,
absolutely,
you know? Yeah. So, you know, I think people have to really realize and reevaluate their inner selves too. What do you think about that?
Oh. I wholeheartedly agree. I'll tell you a funny story about that. You talk about, you know, everybody's, you know, most everybody's a leader in their own regard, you know, whether it's a family or a small office or just helping people. You know, I was working with somebody who's just graduating college and he was going on interviews. And he kept getting hung up on, you know, the question of talk about your leadership experience.
Yeah.
Right. And he didn't have a good answer. You know, he talked about the fact that he was a captain of the soccer team or he was treasurer of his fraternity or something like that. And he just didn't really know how to talk about that. Because the reality is when you're young, you don't necessarily have a ton of leadership experience.
Right.
And he asked to read the book, right? And he read the book and, you know, subsequently after reading the book, he went on the interview and they asked him a question about leadership. He went on an interview and asked him a question about leadership. And instead of talking about, you know, being a captain of a sports team or, you know, an officer in a fraternity, he talked about building a leadership plan for himself. You know, how he identified his core values, how he set goals, how he came up with a plan to network and build awareness and build his own brand as an individual. And he got the job, right? But the story here is you don't have to lead other people to be a leader. You always have to start with yourself.
Yes.
And it's critically important because if you don't, at least in my opinion, I found this to be the case because I've lived plenty of years of my life where I was not leading myself in a very efficient manner.
Right.
But you know, if you're not leading yourself, then you're going to be anxious. You're going to be wandering. You're going to be questioning yourself and what you stand for. Yeah. And you're going to get stuck. And
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Yeah, I mean, that's a long answer to your short question. I don't even know if I answered your question.
No, you did. You actually did. And I like how you mentioned about how he actually thought about what his leadership core values were. And then he explained how he was developing a plan and he was, you know, developing a trajectory to accomplish those goals. Now that sounds very impressive. Like he's really thinking about his future and he's really thinking about success and becoming a success. And that's what, especially when you get out of college and you're looking for a job, those are the type of people they want.
Like you stand out. You know, there's always a difference in business between strategy and tactics.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing that Nick just described, right? This person had a strategy and a plan, not just a list of things that you could document on a resume. And I think that's what's impressive about that story. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Now, when you look at everything, like what are some things that you really think, you know, if you had to emphasize on some of the things we talked about today, what do you think really people should really emphasize when they're looking to become the best version of themselves or they're looking to try to, you know, figure out, I know I have it in me. I just don't know like how to actually get it out of me. You know, like what are some suggestions to the listeners that you suggest that they start focusing on the most important things to get them on their way?
I think starting with understanding yourself is key. So take a look, core values, your personal operating system. And then my next thought is look at the world around you and find some folks who are doing what you find intriguing or someone that you admire. And maybe aim for, you know, we end up working with a lot of folks and connecting them with mentors, et cetera. So that would be my, I won't go on for days. I'll let Nick answer too.
Yeah, I would have said the exact same thing. And, you know, adopt a mindset of continuous learning, right? You know, read, listen to podcasts, you know, so in addition to trying to connect with people who you might admire and look up to, from whatever their, you know, from a leadership perspective. But, you know, we started a business in a market in an industry that we knew nothing about, right? And it was reaching out to people. It was reading. It was listening. And then immersing ourselves in it. And, you know, the whole notion of learn every day, right? Knowledge is power. That is the truth. And that is my advice to my 20-year-old son. And it's my advice to anybody who asks. Knowledge is power. And you got to develop a mindset to do that. And to me, learning about how to become a better leader is a huge part of that equation.
Oh, I agree tremendously. And that must have been scary too, diving into a new business that you knew nothing about.
We had a lot of acronyms to learn. You know, it was interesting. We came from education and then we ended up developing software for the IT community. And they really embraced us. And when you ask them what they loved about what we brought to the table, it was that we helped them learn something new. It's, in Ted Lasso, there's the line, every disadvantage has its advantage. So sometimes you see something from a different perspective. And I would have people at conferences ask me all the time, where did your developers come from? Because like, no, we've had this problem for years that you all solved. And Nick and the rest of our development team came from ed tech development, right? And so they're very used to, they said, of course, that makes sense. You're used to developing things that people can read and understand.
Yeah.
So we see how that happened.
Wow, that's amazing. That's truly amazing. Now, what do you have available? You mentioned a few things before, like if people go on your website, are there things that they could actually download and get some information on?
Absolutely. So we've got a resource. So it's leaditelikelasso.com. We have a resources tab that has all of the activities that are in the book are downloadable. we encourage you getting the book and taking notes right in it, but some people flinch at writing in their books. You can print out the worksheets. We also have a books tab. So we love a good leadership book. Smells like potential. So we've also listed different leadership books. One of the things in our book, we have a character assessment, so you can see which Ted Lasso character you're like.
Yeah.
We've given them sort of homework. If you're like this character, you might read some other books.
Awesome. I love it. And what type of services do you offer?
Right now, it's all the book, right?
We have
a master class coming out.
Nice.
Hopefully this summer on personal leadership.
Oh, excellent.
But yeah, we're extremely fortunate to start, scale, grow, and exit a business. And again, we're fortunate to be in a position where we truly believe that helping people become the best versions of themselves, specifically through leadership, is a gap in this world. And there's not enough people preaching it. And we're just on a mission to do it right now. It's just to try to help people become better.
That's awesome. And basically, it's this book. Basically, it is your learning experience, how you got from point A to point Z, how you got from step one to the top of the ladder. And it's really sharing all these different resources and exercises and different things that you kind of came to you as you were going along that worked and that helped you get to that next level and elevate and elevate and elevate to the point where you are today.
Exactly.
100%. And just what's different about our book, we believe, is, we tie it into the show Ted Lasso. And if, we always like to say there's two types of people in this world. There's people who love Ted Lasso, and there's those people who haven't seen it just yet.
Yeah.
But when you watch Ted Lasso, you come away just always feeling good, smiling, feeling good about yourself. It's a book about, it's a TV show about positivity. It's about growth, what have you. But our book, it's just relatable. It's fun to read. It's not a textbook, right? It's not boring. Not to discount any other leadership books, because we've learned so much from all those books.
Yeah.
But it's just an engaging read, and we highly encourage people to give it a shot and take a chance on it.
I love it. I love it. That's amazing. This has been truly amazing. Now, is there anything else you'd like to add before we go? Because this is, you've really given both of you a whirlwind of advice today that I think is really needed in our community, because there are so many people out there that have so many great qualities about themselves. They just don't believe enough and they really need to re-examine their core values and figure out what they are so they could start moving forward. Because, everybody, I truly believe everybody has something special about them. We all carry leadership in ourselves, and we all have something very special that we could share with others and help each other grow. And it's just being able to have the confidence and being able to really be able to get out there and to share it with others. And the more people share and the more people, listen, the greater we could all grow as one big community.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think the only thing we'd add is, we love to connect with people. We love to help people. Nick Coniglio, Marnie Stockman on LinkedIn, feel free to connect with us. And you never know where a conversation is going to go.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's amazing. I thank you so much, both of you, for coming on the show,
sharing your
book. And where can people find your book, by the way, before we go?
Well, if you search it, it'll pop up everywhere. So lots of Barnes and Noble stores have it. On Amazon is the easiest way for sure. But if you're not an Amazon shopper, you can also find it at the Barnes and Noble links.
Or from our website, leadlikelasso.com as well.
Oh, that's awesome. This has been amazing. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. I hope to see you soon. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
We appreciate you. Thanks.
Thank you. You have a great day.
Okay.